How's the weather in there? Is it hurricane season? Are you living in fear? Do you fear you have a reason you don't have to look at? What the sky's gonna do? Look inside of your mind. That's what's raining on you. How's the weather in there? Is it sunny and fair? Or are the storm clouds moving in? How's the weather in there?
All right, then. I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering. It's a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. That's our own word, prayerful gathering. To hear previous healing messages, please click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 148.
Green pastures are
again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. And the topic of today's readings is, what can we do about the weather? And I'd like to preface these readings with an account from the book We Knew Mary Baker Eddy, the second series, page 71. And the writer says, one day Mrs. Eddy called her students into her study and pointed to a very black cloud shaped like a cornucopia, coming toward the house in direct line with her front study window. She asked each one to go to a window and face it, and to realize that there were no destructive elements in God's creation. Although appearing to whirl straight toward Pleasant View, a mile or so away, the cyclone changed its course and went around the city of Concord into the mountains, doing very little damage. I'm going to be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible, as well as correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. First of all, from the Bible, Genesis. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. From Job and Isaiah. Job answered the Lord and said, oh, that my grief were truly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together, for now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short? There shall none of his meat be left, therefore shall no man look for his good. All darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. But Job answered and said, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? They are as stubble before the wind, and as the chaff of the storm carrieth away. As the fire devoureth the stubble, the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. For wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, that they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and people shall be as the fuel of fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth, and the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. This is the portion of a wicked man with God. Terrors take hold on him as waters. A tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth as a storm hurleth him out of his place. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant. Even the waters forgotten of the foot, they are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up, as it were, fire, for it is a fire that consumeth to destruction. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed? Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice, and the hoary frost of heaven, who hath gendered it? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his son? Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Now for the Acts of the Apostles. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul, stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good comfort, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. And so it came to pass that they escaped all to land. And when they were escaped, they knew then that the island was called Melita. The barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped to sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Psalms. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Now correlative passages from Science and Health, The Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. There is no vapid fury of mortal mind expressed in earthquake, wind, wave, lightning, fire, bestial ferocity. And this so-called mind is self-destroyed. Manifestations of evil which counterfeit divine justice are called in the scriptures the anger of the Lord. In reality, they show the self-destruction of error or matter and point to matter's opposite, the strength and permanency of spirit. The definition of fire, fear, remorse, lust, hatred, destruction, affliction purifying and elevating man. In Isaiah we read, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. But the prophet referred to the divine law as stirring up the belief in evil to its utmost, when bringing it to the surface and reducing it to its common denominator, nothingness. The muddy riverbed must be stirred in order to purify the stream. In moral chemicalization, when the symptoms of evil illusion are aggravated, we may think in our ignorance that the Lord hath wrought an evil. But we ought to know that God's law uncovers so-called sin and its effects. Only the truth may annihilate all sense of evil and all power to sin. Sin is the image of the beast to be effaced by the sweat of agony. It is a moral madness which rushes forth to clamor with midnight and tempest. One should not tarry in the storm if the body is freezing, nor should he remain in the devouring flames. You confess to ignorance of the future and incapacity to preserve your own existence, and this belief helps rather than hinders disease. Such a state of mind induces sickness. It's like walking in the darkness on the edge of a precipice. You cannot forget the belief of danger, and your steps are less firm because of your fear and ignorance of mental cause and effect. We say man suffers from the effects of cold, heat, fatigue. This is human belief, not the truth of being. for matter cannot suffer. Mortal mind alone suffers, not because a law of matter has been transgressed, but because a law of this so-called mind has been disobeyed. Heat and cold are products of mortal mind. A woman whom I cured of conception always breathed with great difficulty when the wind was from the east. I sat silently by her side a few moments. Her breath came gently. The inspirations were deep and natural. I then requested her to look at the weather vane. She looked and saw that it pointed due east. The wind had not changed, but her thought of it had, and so her difficulty in breathing had gone. The wind had not produced the difficulty. My metaphysical treatment changed the action of her belief on the lung, and she never suffered again from east wind, but was restored to health. Expose the body to certain temperatures, and belief says that you may catch cold and have catarrh, but no such result occurs without mind to demand it and produce it. So long as mortals declare that certain states of the atmosphere produce catarrh, fever, rheumatism, or consumption, those effects will follow, not because of the climate, but on account of the belief. The author has in too many instances healed disease through the action of truth on the minds of mortals, and the corresponding effects of truth on the body, not to know that this is so. Instinct is better than misguided reason, as even nature declares. The snowbird sings and soars amid the blast. He has no catarrh from wet feet, and procures a summer residence with more ease than a nabob. The atmosphere of the earth, kinder than the atmosphere of mortal mind, leaves catarrh to the latter. Colds, coughs, and contagion are engendered solely by human theory. You can even educate a healthy horse so far in physiology that he'll take cold without his blanket, whereas the wild animal, left to his instincts, sniffs the wind with delight. Human mind produces what is termed organic disease, as certainly as produces hysteria, and it must relinquish all its errors, sicknesses, and sins. Damp atmosphere and freezing snow empurpled the plump cheeks of our ancestors, but they never indulged in the refinement of inflamed bronchial tubes. Note how thought makes the face pallid. It either retards the circulation or quickens it, causing a pale or a flushed cheek. In the same way, thought increases or diminishes the secretions, the action of the lungs, of the bowels, and of the heart. To remove the error producing disorder, you must calm and instruct mortal mind with immortal truth. When the fear subsides and the conviction abides that you have broken no law, neither rheumatism, consumption, or any other disease will ever result from exposure to the weather. Material sense does not unfold the facts of existence, but spiritual sense lifts human consciousness into eternal truth. Humanity advances slowly out of sinning sense into spiritual understanding. Unwillingness to learn all things rightly binds Christendom with chain. Love will finally mark the hour of harmony, and spiritualization will follow, for love is spirit. Before error is wholly destroyed, there will be interruptions of the general material routine. Earth will become dreary and desolate, but summer and winter, seed time and harvest, though in changed forms, will continue unto the end, until the final spiritualization of all things. Mind creates his own likeness in ideas, and the substance of an idea is very far from being the supposed substance of non-intelligent matter. And the father mind is not the father of matter. The material senses of human conceptions would translate spiritual ideas into material beliefs, and would say that an anthropomorphic God, instead of infinite principle, in other words, divine love, is the father of the rain, who hath begotten the drops of dew, who bringeth forth Mazaroth in his season, and guideth Arcturus with his sons. Finite mind manifests all sorts of errors, and thus prove the material theory of mind in matter to be the antipode of mind. The calm, strong currents of true spirituality, the manifestations of which are health, purity, and self-immolation, must deepen human experience until the beliefs of material existence are seen to be a bald imposition, and sin, disease, and death give everlasting place to the scientific demonstration of divine spirit and to God's spiritual, perfect man. Finally, from miscellaneous writing. Thus founded upon the rock of Christ, when storm and tempest beat against this sure foundation, you, safely sheltered in the strong tower of hope, faith, and love, are God's nestling, and he will hide you in his feathers till the storm be past. Into his haven of soul, there enters no element of earth to cast out angels, to silence the right intuition which guides you safely home.